Welcome. We've all had a family doctor for as long as we can remember, but have you ever really considered all that he or she can do for you and your family? I'm Deborah Howell, and this is Building Healthier Communities with Atlantic Medical Group. My guest today is Dr. Catherine Zay, a compassionate family medicine doctor who enjoys working with young children and growing families at Atlantic Medical Group Primary Care at Branchburg. First of all, doctor, how often should each family member see their family doctor?
That's a great question. It really depends on the individual, depends on their general health, their needs, and their goals for their health and their lives.
But at a minimum, maybe once a year?
I would say at a minimum once a year, and that may be as simple as an annual physical. It may be to check in on chronic medical problems. It may be to learn more about updates in recommended preventive care and health maintenance.
Okay. How important is it to have a personal relationship and that shared medical history over the years with your family physician?
That is really the key to the whole process, is getting to know each other over the years, getting to develop that rapport and that trust over time is what makes the relationship work. It's not as simple as going in for a physical or for a checkup. It's really getting to know someone. So when you do have a problem or a question, it's like having a close friend or family member to turn to in your time of need.
Absolutely. Family physicians are pretty often more than just doctors with, you know, fancy degrees on their walls. They often act as counselors to their patients and make life recommendations when they believe it's necessary. And they're almost like life coaches and advocates, or even like a third parent, right?
It's a great privilege as a family physician to be part of families at any point in their lives, but especially when their families are growing and changing, it's feeling like part of the family. And I say that from my perspective, but I've also been in the position of a patient and needing a family physician to support me and my family through those times. And it's critical.
You know, my dad was a specialized GP, and his relationship with his patients, I mean, he's gone now, but as of today, I can just see him with those patients and that connection. And it's just so important. And he was the kind of guy that would read the obituaries, and if he saw that a former patient had passed, he'd just go and quietly sit in the back row of that service to pay tribute to that patient. I mean, these relationships are strong.
Absolutely. And truly, it is a privilege to be part of patients' lives. And I feel like I learned so much from my patients over the years. And it's truly what brings me the most joy in my job.
And also, not only are you such an advocate, you also keep records. So your family medicine doctor often remembers things about your life and your kids' lives that you may have forgotten, like, what year was it that Jason broke his arm playing hockey? Or, oh yeah, I guess my daughter was a little bit anemic a few years ago. I mean, this is really important information that only your family physician may know.
That's true about those medical details. One of the things that I really like to learn about my patients as well is what they do for fun. I always like to ask, what do you do with your spare time? Or if they volunteer something about an upcoming vacation or a new puppy or something that their kids are doing, I want to know more about that. And I often will make notes for myself to help prompt my memory when I see them next time. But that's how those relationships develop over time. And it helps me to learn to see them not just as a list of medical problems, but as a more complete individual, which they are. So then I can provide even better support once I know who they are and where they come from.
While we're talking about hobbies, I understand you're very much into playing French horn.
It's something that's been very important to me for most of my life, and I don't play it quite as much at right now as I would like to, but I'm hoping to get back to it.
Not in between patients, huh? In the parking lot?
It makes a little too much noise for the office setting.
It'd be good for social media, though.
I bet so.
Now, what should you do if you have to move across the country or overseas, or your family physician retires and you have to find a new primary care physician?
I would start by asking your current physician if there's anyone they recommend, if you have that opportunity. But if that doesn't lead to any connections, ask your friends, ask your neighbors, ask family members who they feel like they have had relationships with. There are so many different types of people, both as patients and as doctors, mm-hmm. that it's important to have a good match and a good relationship. But then go meet someone. It's always fair to call an office and ask to schedule a meet and greet session to just get a brief visit about what their office is like and what that relationship might be like. It takes time to get to know someone.
Absolutely. I never thought about the meet and greet thing. Sure, it's going to be a relationship, and it's going to be a very, very important one, maybe even a life-saving one. So, yeah, have that meet and greet. Very, very good idea. You're also very involved as family care physicians in referring patients to other physicians. Tell us about that relationship.
That's true. Primary care doctors of any variety, family medicine doctors included, are often the first point in care that then might require the help of some specialists. And so we do referrals, certainly. One of the things that I like to discuss with my patients when they come in asking for a referral is to consider whether that really needs to be a referral at this point or whether there's something that we can do together in our office first to address their concerns. Family physicians can take care of lots of different medical problems, not just preventive care, not just physicals. And so my goal is to make things simple and efficient for my patients. And if we can take care of their health concerns in a one-stop shop sort of situation without having to do a lot of referrals, that would be great. But certainly those relationships with the specialists are also very important, and I try to maintain those relationships.
What do you do for the mom whose kid just will not go to the doctor, just fights tooth and nail?
Well, it depends on the age. Sometimes you have a young child he remembers that he got shots last time he went, and
yes.
He really doesn't want to go. I encourage the family to bring that kid in as often as you can. If you're driving past the office, stop in. We're going to give a high five and a sticker and then leave. And it helps to give the child time to forget that there was anything that might have been scary, help the child to become more comfortable, to come in more often rather than less often, really helps to lower the anxiety about everyone involved.
That is such a simple and such an elegant solution to such a big problem these days. I mean, kids won't even go to school, much less the doctor.
We want to make it a very safe place for older kids, especially if they're getting into their teenage years. I always encourage those kids, come see us. And at that point, we get into confidentiality laws where the child doesn't necessarily need to tell the parent what they're coming in for. And a lot of those visits may have protected information. We all have the goal, both parents and doctors, we have the goal of having the children stay healthy. And if that means they come in on their own or come in with a friend, that's great. So just encouraging those teens to come in and develop their relationship with their doctor and to know that that is a safe, confidential space for healthcare.
Oh, that is so, so key, because sometimes these kids, they just don't know where to go and they can't tell their parents what they're going through.
Right. And ideally, every child has a parent or another trusted adult that they feel safe with, that they can share their concerns. But I think the reality is life is complicated. But again, we all share the goal of having our children be healthy and have information to make their own choices about their lives.
We're coming to the end, sadly, of our time together. But what else should we know about family medicine doctors and their call to serve their patients?
I love that you use the phrase call to serve, because really the vast majority of us in this field are here because we could not possibly consider doing anything else because this is our passion. We could have made choices along the line to be specialists or other sorts of things, but we love family medicine, and it's those relationships over time that are so important, and I love seeing people again and again and getting to know them over time. It's a great privilege.
Well, Dr. Zay, I can say, just from the heart, just having spent 10 minutes with you, your patients are very, very lucky.
Well, you're very kind.
It's been an utter pleasure talking with you. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure as well, and I hope to have the opportunity to meet more of our wonderful community in my office.
Sounds great. Sounds like a plan. That is Dr. Catherine Zay at Atlantic Medical Group Primary Care at Branchburg. Thanks for checking out this episode of Building Healthier Communities with Atlantic Medical Group. Call 908-378-7227 or visit them online at atlanticmedicalgroup.org. That way you can get connected to Dr. Zay or another provider. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and make sure to check the entire podcast library for topics that might interest you. Catch you next time.